Good evening. Appreciate the blessedness of serving Christ and knowing that there is more than just a casual experience. It's more than just getting by, but it is, as He promised, an abundant life. And there is plenty of victory to go around, and I believe God smiles when His children stand in the victory that He's given. And I think the Lord delights in sharing that victory with His children. By the help of the Lord tonight, I want to share a little thought with you about the power there is in belief in God. People can believe in a lot of different things, and they do. Doesn't take long to look around at creation and look at the different people that walk this earth, and there are a lot of different beliefs exhibited, and we live in a day and a time where it seems as though everybody's got a microphone. It's called Facebook and Twitter and all those other little things, the social media that they use, and people are able to put out their ideas and their thoughts. And if you have a little bit of importance, or you say something a little too controversial, you can make it on the news. Just from the privacy of your own little bedroom by a few little keystrokes. But tonight, by the help of the Lord, we want to talk about having a belief in God and what His abilities are. It has, I believe, a three-part focus tonight. As far as our belief in God, it should encourage us. It should strengthen us when we realize what is possible when we truly believe in God and we lay aside the reservations that are presented to us. There's also some tools in believing in God that help us to combat the things of life that we deal with, the circumstances of life that come our way, and there are various challenges based upon our personalities, our likes and dislikes, where we live, the people we're around. Each of us have unique battles that we face. And I believe the Lord has some tools for us in there. And also, I think, when we stop and consider our beliefs, and particularly our belief in God and what He's capable of doing, it gives us wisdom when we're doing what we ought to do, which is to reach out to a lost and dying world. We are surrounded by people that are like fruit on a vine, dying, drying up. We are surrounded by people, as Jesus said when He looked around, and there were a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. And I think when we examine the whole concept of just faith and believing, it allows us to have an understanding of how we can talk to other people, because they believe in something. People don't just walk around and have no beliefs at all. I think about when we're driving. In this country, we stay on the right side of the road. And your hope and expectation, you believe that everybody else is going to do the same thing. And if you've ever driven a two-lane highway at a high rate of speed, you've thought about this. When oncoming traffic is coming, you believe they're going to stay in their lane and you'll stay in yours and everything will work just fine. And that's just a small example, the fact that everybody has some level of belief in things. We want to begin tonight by looking into the book of Proverbs. Particularly, we want the 23rd chapter. Proverbs 23 and 7, common verse here. Maybe we back up a little bit. Verse 6, it says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And the thought we want here is, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Jesus also said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And the wisdom that is here is that we come to the realization that what we truly, honestly believe in our heart is going to manifest itself in the decisions that I make when I live my daily life. And I'm thinking particularly, as we go about our life, the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We're all well aware of this. But one of the other things that he likes to do is he likes to cast seeds of doubt. And I'm reminded of the testimony of Daniel. You remember his testimony that people had of him? He didn't, you know, sometimes growing up, people get nicknames. Just little characteristics about them, and they get a nickname. And sometimes people try to make up their own nickname. But when it came to Daniel, he got a nickname in captivity. And it was the Dissolver of Doubt. And I've thought of a lot of different nicknames that have come down the pike, and I'd have to say that that's probably one of the best I've ever heard. What a testimony of this man to be able to be around his captors. And his contemporaries would look upon his life and they would mark that man and they'd say, there's something different about him. You know, people get silly, goofy little nicknames. But there was such a regalness to the life of Daniel that when people looked at him and they said, oh yeah, that's the guy over there that'll take away your doubt. If you find yourself in a difficult situation, if you find yourself not knowing what to do and you're at a crossroad in life, this is somebody you want to contact. This is somebody that you want in your presence. And you ask yourself, how did he get to that place? Was it just his personality? Was he just an optimistic fella and everybody just liked to be around him because he was always looking at the brighter side of life? Or was he a little bit like you and a little bit like me? And he had some problems in life. He had some situations where things didn't go his way. And he had some situations where he wished it had gone a different way, but it didn't. 60 years in captivity? Probably didn't wish for that, did he? You know, you never once in the story of Daniel read of where he complained about his lot in life. We sing that little song, Dare to be a Daniel. Do we think of that when we sing that? When it comes to belief and when it comes to being a person that's able to dissolve doubts, and I cannot stress tonight how important this is. We are living in the midst of a society that got doubt everywhere, on every hand. Is marriage really between a man and a woman? Am I really male? Am I really female? These are the things that we deal with. And God is calling upon us as His children. As it was said of Esther, for such a time as this. This is the time. This is the appropriate time for you to be alive. This is the appropriate time for you to have an experience with God. This is the appropriate time for you to be the dissolver of doubt and the people that you deal with. And in the sphere of influence that you have, God's calling upon your life is to be one that can bring clarity and light to those that are around you. And so it is we dare to be a Daniel. And we consider and we study well the life of Daniel, the actions and the practices that he engaged in. Many of us are familiar with Daniel and the things that he had done. But it was more than just getting up and reading his Bible. It was more than just praying 3 times a day and opening his window to make sure people could hear and that he could face the way that he was trained to face. It was far more than that. What caused him to be able to do that on maybe the day he didn't feel like it? You think Daniel ever had days like that? Do you think he was like us? I believe he did. I believe there were times that maybe he might have been fearful when he heard the news that, we can't be praying and bowing down except for, I'm sure the same enemy that comes at me with those kinds of ideas and those kinds of doubts and those kinds of suggestions that would cause me to try and draw back or be a little bit fearful was still alive and working in the time of Daniel. But what you see is a resolve in Daniel that I don't care, devil, what you have to say. It reminds me of the story of Pilgrim's Progress, when everybody wanted to say things are drawing back. He shoved his fingers in his ears and yelled, eternal life. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. And when I think of that, I think about the childlike faith. Because I could just see him, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. And I think about when I was a little kid, if I didn't want to hear somebody, we could just and talk over them. So you didn't have to hear them. And it reminds me of what Jesus taught the apostles when he picked up the child and set him in their midst, and he says, "Except you be as a child." You think about the faith that Daniel had, and that was the key. And the faith came from the fact that he believed in God. He believed in God's ability, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the emotion that Daniel was feeling, he still believed that God was, and that God would perform that which he promised in his word, that which he had confirmed to Daniel in his own private visitations as he spent time with the Lord. There was something that built up a faith in him, and I want us to realize that kind of faith didn't come day one. It was something that was built. When we study the life of Abraham, a man of great faith, and I think about his willingness to sacrifice his son, and then you have to really go back into his life and realize that God didn't require that. God didn't ask that of him the first week of his serving the Lord. There was a progression of faith in the life of Abraham. There were certain small little things that God asked of Abraham, "Would you do this?" And Abraham, "Well, okay, I believe you, Lord, I'll do it." And the Lord confirmed his faithfulness. And it built up something within Abraham. There was a cognition that happened in his brain that went down to his heart. Because we're talking about something different than having an intellectual understanding. We can hear the words. We can read the words. We can hear what other people say. And our minds have the ability to comprehend. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The minds that the Lord gave us. But what we're talking about of people that are able to dissolve doubts in 2016, in the midst of all the confusion, is more than an intellectual understanding of the Scripture. More than an intellectual understanding of God. It's a people that have a true belief in the depths of their heart, and that it doesn't matter what reality looks like. It doesn't matter what intellect tells me. I know my God has called me to this place, to this work, to do this thing in this moment. And so I go, and so I do, and like a child with a father waiting with the arms, and I leap off the building into Father's arms, as we heard this morning about being committed. There's a leap of faith. There's power in that. I want you to think for a moment tonight of the various testimonies that you've heard, where people have exhibited faith in God. God proved Himself faithful, and they were able to testify of that situation. And you think about what that does. Oh, it's almost like walking the road to Damascus. It's almost like when the two guys walk and said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Because there was something about the Spirit of God that witnessed to them, and their eyes were open and they understood. It took it from their mind to their heart. When we hear the testimony of those that have exhibited faith in God, and God has proved Himself faithful, there is a burning that happens within our heart if we'll truly open ourselves to the Lord, if we'll truly have that childlike faith. He'll begin to write those things into our heart. And there is a power that comes from that. And not only to us when we give our testimony, but I would remind you tonight that when we're dealing with the world, when we're dealing with the people that are lost, this is such a foreign concept to them. It is so far beyond their realm of belief. But when we live out our life, and we're willing to make ourselves vulnerable, and we're willing to open ourselves up, and we're willing to share. This is what it is, believing God. When it comes to giving your testimony, it's not just on a Wednesday night. It's not just on an occasional Sunday when you're feeling a little excited. It's every day of the week when the Lord gives opportunity to share that testimony. I was sharing at home just a couple of weeks ago. There was a situation that happened, and the Lord had given me a revelation a few years back, and I'd shared it probably at least 10 times this year with students at school. And I thank the Lord every single time because it's fresh and it's new. And when I tell that story, there is a belief that comes with it that this story is going to impact that person. There is a belief in my mind and as well in my heart that there's going to come a day when that kid is 60 years old and someone says, "How in the world are you doing what you're doing?" I said, "Well, there was a teacher, a dean back then, that shared this story of what God had done." And so there's no reservation. There's no hesitation. There's no doubt. There's no wondering. There's no shrinking in my Christian experience. There is a power that comes when I honestly believe that a testimony carries weight, carries power, because God had put it there, because God doesn't allow accidents in my life. And so it is when I share the things that He's doing in my life, it has an impact on those that I speak. And you know what? The Lord confirmed this, because I just a couple weeks ago shared that same testimony with one of my cousin's children. And she shared how she appreciated it to the point that she shared it with somebody else that I didn't really even know. And I thought, how far will that testimony go? How far will it go? But you know, if you back all the way up, it came to a point where I had to make a decision. I was in the situation. And I get to choose, am I going to share this or I'm not going to share this? It's real easy to allow the enemy to beat us up a little bit and say, oh, they'll think you're weird. This is too strange. This is too much. All the different ideas that the enemy tries to present. And so it gets back to, what do I believe? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you truly, honestly believe in your heart is going to come out. It's going to perpetuate the action that you take. This is why it's so important for each of us. And I appreciated the testimony, Sister Rosie. I'm like you. I'm not the kind of person that does it because everybody else is. I have to know for myself. I have to taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm so glad of the message this afternoon when it talked about that God said you wouldn't have to hear from each of your neighbor, but He would write it on our hearts. And He, from the least to the greatest, we would all know Him. And He would write that law on our heart. And that tells me, and that should tell all of us, that we can go to God on an individual basis and we can begin to wrestle with things that we don't know, things that we don't understand. And if we'll have a belief that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, if we believe His Word when He says, in the day that you seek after Me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. If we believe that in our heart, you know what that does? That causes me to dig into the Scripture. That causes me to dig in my prayer life. That causes me to pursue after God to the neglect of maybe some other things that I'd rather do. I'm going to set those aside. Why? Because I believe this is important. Because I believe there's going to be an answer. There's going to be a fulfillment that is brought to my life that I don't have right now. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, at the same time, this is a message of examination. Because now you can look at your actions. And regardless of what your mouth says, your actions tell what your heart really believes. I remember teaching Sunday school many, 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 many years ago. And I used to share with the children all the time, Jesus says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. And if you walk by an apple tree, and it starts to talk to you, and you say, oh, look at the pretty little apple tree, and it shakes its little red fruit and says, I'm a banana tree. You're going to say, silly little tree, you got red apples, you're an apple tree. Regardless of what that tree might say to you, regardless of the claim that it might make, its fruit bears out what it truly is. So it is in our lives. When we think about the actions that we take, and we should well consider the actions that we take and how I conduct myself on a daily basis, because it's going to reveal what I believe in my heart. And I will say this, if you find that you're in a place where you're like, I didn't realize I didn't truly believe that, or you find yourself in a place you're uncomfortable and you feel like maybe the Lord isn't pleased, we have an advocate. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We, like that one man, say, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And God will work with that. He's always willing to work with a broken and a contrite spirit. He tells us that we are to examine ourselves. And so it is when we consider our actions, when we consider the way we conduct ourselves, when we consider the decisions that we make, they're all based upon what we truly believe. Lord, help us to be in a place where there's consistency in what we believe, in what you have taught, and what you ask of us. Because the stakes are very high. Not only our own soul is at stake, but anybody that we have influence over. Well, you know, Abraham, in Genesis the 15th chapter in the 6th verse, there's a little testimony of Abraham. We've alluded to him and his great faith. Again, remembering that it wasn't in one day that he had all this. God built it up over his lifetime. But speaking of Abraham, it says, and he believed in Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You want to be righteous before God? Believe what he says. And it is a belief that is coupled with action. As we read in the book of James, he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. We know that the devils believe and tremble, but there's no action that goes with it. And so when he talks about Abraham, it says he believed the Lord. What the writer is saying is, look, Abraham took it in like a little child, didn't question it, didn't say, well, is this the best possible plan? Or is maybe there a different way? He just simply believed it, and he stepped out on faith, and he went. And God counted that as righteousness. What a supreme thing to covet. Righteousness. It simply requires belief in God. And that belief that is in our heart, and not just our head, but in our heart, that causes us to have an action, that causes us to do. And you think about some of the great works and all the great missionaries and different things, all the works of God throughout the history of time. The things we read about in those little hero tales. Right? I'm forever amazed by George Mueller. I can't say enough about that man's faith. Got an orphanage full of hundreds of children. They come, they knock on his study, and he's in there reading and praying. The head lady says, Mr. Mueller, we got a problem. He says, what's that? Cupboards are bare, children are hungry. Got a choice to make. What do you really believe, Mr. Mueller? He said, get the children dressed and set them down at the table like you always do. Whoa. There was a man that knew God. There was a man that knew his purpose in life. Do you understand the power that comes with that? There is a confidence when we believe in God and He's written these testimonies into our lives. There is a confidence that it should give us that as we walk about, it doesn't matter. I think about what Uncle Stephen said. He says, when you wake up, as a saint of God, when you wake up, devils tremble. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I think about Mr. Mueller and faced with that dire situation, and he didn't freak out, he didn't stress, he didn't wonder, he didn't doubt. He just said, go get them ready. Because I'm going to go tell God, and he's going to do something about it. And it wasn't long before the baker knocked on the door and said, the Lord woke me up at 5 this morning. See, God was already doing work. But he still believed. And a baker shows up with the bread. Says, Lord, woke me up and you need this. And it wasn't long later, there's a knock on the door. And wouldn't it happen? The wagon for the milk truck breaks down right in front of the orphanage. Says, I can't deliver the milk and it's going to go back. Can you guys use it? What kind of confidence does that bring? And you think about that when you go out into the world and you go to witness to people. There should be a great deal of confidence that comes with you. You need not be nervous. You need not worry. You need not feel like a second-class citizen. Well, I look a little different. I talk a little different. I conduct my life a little differently. Be confident in those things. If you truly, honestly believe, this is where we got to examine a little bit. If you're second-guessing about where you're at and the things you do and don't do, you need to go back and spend time with God and find out why you do those things. Do you really believe it? Because if you really believe that this is pleasing to the Lord, and that's why I do it, there's no doubt with that. There's no lack of confidence. I am who I am. I'm happy to be who I am because God is pleased with the way that I conduct my life. And you want to ask me? You want to talk about those things? I'm glad to talk about it. And I don't have to capitulate and backtrack and, well, you know, it's kind of just what my church does. And I don't have to do any of that. I do it because God is happy. God is pleased because I have studied it. I've searched it out. I've wrestled with God, and He's written some things on my heart. There is a confidence that comes with this because I believe. Because I believe in an Almighty God. I think about Abraham believing in God, and the definition there for believe was impelled by an inner and higher prerogative law of the soul. That's far greater than the church says, far greater than the preacher says, far greater than mom and dad or somebody else says. It's an inner work. You see, when God answers the question, there's no room for doubt. When we seek after the Lord, when we truly believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, when I truly believe that, then when I find myself in a situation where I don't know and I'm unsure, then I'll seek after Him because I believe. And because there's a belief in my heart, there's an action that follows. And then you get the reward. And you know what the reward is? It's a testimony that has the ability to defeat the devil. It's an Ebenezer stone in your life that when you have one of those days when nothing's going your way and it seems like everything is stacked against you and the devil's got you convinced that you're the worst, sorriest excuse of human flesh and there's no possible way God can find any pleasure in you and you're completely lost and undone. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. And you feel like that little frog in the throat of the bird. It's your belief that's going to squeeze the neck of that bird and say, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm going to choke you out and you're going to die long before I ever will because I believe in an Almighty God. This is what belief in God does. This is the confidence that it brings that when I get up and I go the places that God calls me to go, that I need not be scared, that I need not be ashamed, that I am a child of God. And I believe in a God that cares for His children and that makes them the best people possible. Amen. So it is when I walk into a situation, there's a great deal of confidence that comes. And it's not a boast of me. I can tell you a lot of my flaws, and you could ask my family, they could tell you the rest. Oh, but my God, He's so big and so mighty. There's nothing, nothing my God cannot do. And you know what that means? That means when it comes time for me to work for God, you know how often that happens, right? Every day. Every day you get up, doesn't matter how old you are, God still has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter how young you are. God still has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter how much in between you are. God still has a purpose for your life. Every day that we have life and breath, there's a purpose, there's a meaning, there's something to it. And if you don't feel that in the depths of your soul, and if you don't truly believe it, it's time to go back and do business with God. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up over that. If that's truly where you find yourself, be honest with the Lord. Take it to Him. Take my own testimony. Some of the things that I pray to the Lord in privacy of my prayer, I would be embarrassed to say out loud. Because I am brutally honest. And I'll name out things that I think are a struggle or a problem for me. And maybe some folks might lose confidence sometimes if they heard that. Oh, but my God doesn't. Oh, He loves honesty. He says, thank you for admitting that. Now we can do something there. Now we can do something there. So it is when we think about that, that we're impelled by a high inner cause that is an inner law, a prerogative. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm doing because of what I believe. Oh, it touches every avenue of our life. Everything we do is governed by this and by what we believe. I think about... Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go when he's older. He'll not depart from it. You know, that is wisdom from the Lord. And when we truly believe it, we teach our children. We teach other people's children. Could I encourage you to do that as saints of God? That sometimes there are people that really don't know how to train their children. Oh, they might get them to behave a little bit. But when we talk about training, it's what is the purpose of man? To serve God. There are nice, by worldly standards, nice people out there, and their kids are pretty well-mannered. But they're not taught to serve God. Can I encourage you as a saint, as a child of God, to teach sometimes other people's children when they make a good drawing? A lot of times we say, oh, that's a great drawing. Good job. You did a good job. How about, I'm so glad that the Lord gave you the ability to do that. Something so little and so subtle. But if we truly believe that if we train a child, that when they get older, they won't depart from it, it's going to precipitate our action. It's going to cause us to do something. It's going to cause us to say something rather than to sit on our hands. It's going to bring about an action and a motivation. There's so many different ways. You think so many times to witness and testify and to win souls, you've got to grab them by the ears and tell them the truth and shake them until they're willing to confess the Lord and all these different kinds of things. Sometimes it's just simple little seeds that you plant. I'm so glad the Lord worked that out for you. The Lord? I didn't. No, you don't understand. The Lord did that for you. He worked that out. That's the mercy of God. Oh, it is? So subtle. This is what Jesus meant when he said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You think about it. Serpent has no thumb. They don't even have a hand, but they eat. They're going to have to be pretty smart then. So are we. And God will make you smart. He'll make you smarter than you think you are. Because he understands the whole thing. He understands the motivation of other people's hearts. And God at times will reveal that to you. The Lord will give that level of discernment in situations. And you think about what a confidence that brings. That God is speaking to me and I recognize his voice. And he's telling me things about a situation. And he's giving me wisdom and counsel. Don't hold back. Have childlike faith. Leap off into daddy's arms. And go ahead and say what you got to say. You know this affects our church services? How many times have you sat there hemmed and hawed? Well, should I say it? No, I'm not going to say it. Should I not? No, somebody else can. Should I pray? No, somebody else can pray. Do you really believe that God will hear your prayer? At home, I say, if you've got faith, you're qualified to pray. You just got to have a little bit of faith. And not even a lot. Just a mustard seed is enough. Or do you let the enemy take some of your confidence and tell you you pray too quietly? You're not as eloquent as somebody else. You'll forget a whole bunch. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We've all faced these. You're, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too... You can allow the enemy to make all kinds of excuses. What do you believe? Do you believe God is pleased to hear you? I was sharing with Brother Philip this afternoon in conversation, and I read, you know, in the early church, sometimes I wonder if we would have even fit in the early church. Because when they came together for service, everybody had a memory verse, everybody had a testimony, everybody had a psalm they wanted to read, there was five or six different people that wanted to preach. Sounded pretty crazy to the point where Paul said, hey, hold on a second. We're a little bit out of control. We've got to get this calmed down a little bit. And you've got to take turns, one after the other. You ever been in a service where it's just, well, everybody's kind of looking at each other? You know what that is? That's the enemy getting victory. Not us. And I'm going to say this. Me pointing that out to you from here means I'm going to have to do battle with the enemy later. I promise you that. He doesn't like me saying those kinds of things. He doesn't like me shedding the light and exposing the truth of it. But I love you. And I'm willing to take on that fight for our benefit. But more importantly, I believe God will be standing right behind me and He'll punch me in the eye for me and I don't have to worry about it. I believe that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And so it is that you take a step of faith, and when the Lord calls and the Lord puts something on your heart that you don't hold back, you just go ahead and deliver. Don't worry about how it's going to be received. Don't worry about what's going to be the effect. That's God's business. If He gives you something to do, do it. As the writer said in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever the hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Because guess what? There's a grave coming, and when you get there, there's nothing left. There's nothing you can do. The last thing you want to be able to, you do not want to get to the end of your life and say, I wish I'd have been a little bit more this way. I wish I'd have done more for the Lord. If you feel that kind of regret, do something about it today. You know, I won't take the time to go to it, but in Psalms 78 and 41, it talks about the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. Speaking of God, God was limited. Why? Because of unbelief. That tells me there's power in believing. If God is limited by unbelief, then that means believing unleashes His power. And it's to the point where we got to realize this, that when I go into a situation, when I'm obeying the Lord, when I'm living my life and I'm doing the things that I do, it is no longer I, but Christ Jesus that lives and dwells in me. Do I really believe it? Because my actions are going to bear it out whether I do or don't. Now, I don't know what the Lord calls for in your life. Those are the privacy of your thoughts between you and the Lord. And so it makes it really hard for me to be able to determine if you're doing what God is calling you to do or not. And quite honestly, that's not my position. And I'm glad. But it is my position to encourage you tonight to think about it, to be mindful of it, to do business with the Lord, and to consider your own life and where you're at and whether you're obeying the call or whether you're drawing back. Because if you're drawing back, God doesn't want that. The church suffers. Look at the people around you. They suffer when you draw back. You take a testimony away, something that might be an Ebenezer stone in their life. Something that might strengthen somebody else. And then we take it a little bit further. When we get out of these four walls and we get out to the world and we start dealing with people, we take something away from them. And there will be probably at least one, if not more, people that will pass through your life. You may be the only true witness of Jesus Christ they'll ever see. Puts a solemn responsibility on us, doesn't it? Well, I want to read in Romans, first chapter, a very common verse, Romans 1 and 16. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That word power, dunamis in the Greek, it's where we get the word dynamite. When you think about believing in God, and the belief in God is the power of salvation, the dynamite. You know, this country grew up in a short period of time. And one of the things that helped this country to grow was the railroad. So we could get from the east to the west. And you know, when they make that railroad, God had other plans for how He designed His earth. And so when they wanted to run the railroad, there's a problem. There's mountains and rocks, hills in the way. What did they use to get rid of that obstacle? Some dynamite. This is what our salvation has. This is the power of believing in God that I, like the Apostle Paul, can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I, like David, I can leap over a wall and I can run through a troop. I can do anything. I can be like Samson. I can take out 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. Do you really believe He did that? Or was it just an anecdotal story to tell about what faith can do? Because if we don't really believe it, there won't be an action that follows. But when I really believe, Paul tells me, it is the dynamite that is brought into my life that allows me to do extraordinary things. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things because God stepped on the scene and He was willing to work with that vessel because that vessel was willing to allow God to work. And it all goes back to belief. We can have great power in our lives to accomplish God's work, but it requires us to believe Him. It requires us to trust Him. And in that belief and in that trust, I move out on action. Regardless of what my brain tells me. Because your brain's going to tell you a lot of different things. But when you truly know this is the Lord, this is where He's leading, this is where He's pointing, there is a dynamic power that follows. And it's not always a big explosion. Sometimes you just barely get through the situation. But you don't realize the effect and the testimony that it leaves. You don't need to worry about that. You'll find out when you get to heaven. You see that long line of people that you never even thought you knew? And they're like, hey, I just really appreciate that testimony you gave over there. I really appreciated the stance you took for God when you didn't think anybody was caring, or, you know, when you bowed your head to pray for your food at the food court at the mall when it's not cool. I really appreciated that. That spoke to me. That made me go home and start thinking about my life and where I'm at and what I'm believing. It's the little things. Everybody's looking for something big. It's the little things. It's a succession of little things and habits, and those get built up over time. And sometimes the Lord sets a big stage, but usually not. I think about the power there is in salvation. I think about some of the things that we face in our day and time. And there is a lot of confusion. There are a lot of people with agendas that use social media and they try to cloud the water and make things murky. And then we've got to deal with that. We've got to be the people that bring clarity to the situation. But I think also one of the other things that I see, and I almost feel like it's just a spirit that's been let loose, and that is a spirit of depression. There's a lot of people that are sad and dejected, and you look in their eyes and you see no life. And I believe there's a spirit of depression that has been unleashed on this world and so many different things. And I think about it, depression starts with a thought. But you know what it survives on? Belief of that thought. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy is the master of thoughts. He is the master of presenting ideas to your mind. He did it to Jesus Christ. He's going to do it to you. And so it is, when you start to feel down and everything, I want you to understand tonight that the enemy is presenting thoughts. It's time to cast them down. Every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the things of God, we cast those down and we don't allow those things to have an effect. And when we're dealing with people that are out there, that we fully recognize that when people are in that depression, they are believing some thought that they've been told by the enemy. And so it is, we have tools, we have wisdom. As a child of God, I walk into the situation, I survey the scene, and I have a knowledge of what's really going on, that there is some thought process that's messed up, where the enemy has infiltrated their mind with some negative idea about who they are, what they're capable of doing, and all these different kinds of things, and now I know the root. And so I take them back to what God thinks of them. There's a tool for us when we're working with those that are in our sphere of influence. Because there is a real spirit out there and it weighs heavily upon people's hearts and on people's minds and it causes them to do a lot of different things. But there's power in our salvation to lift that spirit. There's power in our salvation to deliver people from the bondage that they're in. Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, it's going to cause an action in your life. It's going to cause you to open your mouth and speak into someone else's life and into someone else's situation. You know, I think about what faith in God can do. And I want to share just a little story of what's been going on the past couple of months. And I tell this to the glory of God. It's not me. It's God. But we've been working on some houses, trying to make a little extra money, get ourselves out of debt. And did one house. And the first house I did, I got an idea from the Lord. Lord, really? All right, let's do it. I could have just said, nah, that's just me. But I felt it was the Lord, and I believed it, and so I acted upon it. And so what I did is I invited Kent to come stay at my house. And the only reason that we struck a deal and an agreement for what was going to happen and all that stuff, and eventually I even got to the point where I got to tell him. I said, I don't care how much work you did, which was his end of the agreement. I said, the only reason I asked you to be here was so that I could witness to you and so I could be around you and share with you the power of Jesus Christ. And we had multiple conversations during that time, and I felt like the Lord was using that to speak into his life. And I don't say that to his embarrassment. I say that to the glory of God, that when we believe what the Lord calls us to do and we act upon it, then there are things that happen as a result of that. And we need not be amazed. We need not wonder. We serve a mighty and powerful God. And so as the Lord would have it, my prayer was, Lord, I'd like to be able to continue to flip these houses and get out of debt and do... I have so many different ideas that require money. And Lord, if this is the way that you want to do it, then so be it. But then I have a heart. It's part of my calling. I have a passion, maybe a little more so than some. And again, that's just the gifting from the Lord. But every day I'm thinking about people that are lost and what can I do? I said, Lord, how can we make this a form of ministry where we're doing things? And you know what the Lord did? This last year, He opened up the position of dean. I didn't ask for it. They called me and said, would you do this job? I said, well, give it a shot. See what it is. You know, I've been able to testify and share my testimony with a lot of kids this year. Troubled kids. And when it comes to flipping those houses, the last month and a half, almost 2 months, the Lord has given me two gang members. And I mean, just, and when I say gang members, I mean legitimate. Some of the stuff that you would read on the news, those kinds of gang members. And a couple other kids that are troubled, and they come over to the house every day, and I teach them how to do different things within a house. And then we sit around and we have conversation, and invariably I turn it to the things of the Lord. And I remember when they first got there, you know, they wanted to play whatever music they're playing, and it's awful. By worldly standards, it's awful. And my friend Rob was complaining to me, why are you letting them play this, that, and the other? And I said, well, and they were and the kids were standing around. I said, it's all right. They can play it now because I'm eventually going to convert them all. And they kind of looked at me and I said, no, you're going to be converted. I promise you that. Why would I say that out loud and embarrass myself? Why would I make it such a bold claim where I could be embarrassed or mocked or ridiculed? Because I believe God does not want a single soul to perish. And I believe that what I have within me is greater than whatever they're trying to listen to or whatever thought they're trying to conjure up. And you know what? I got proof. Just last couple days ago, I got a nice text message from one of the kids, gang member. And he says, sent me a text message, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, when you come this morning, could you bring your Bible? I'd like you to pray for me. And you know what? I wasn't surprised. I'm expecting that. There is a confidence that comes in believing in God because I've seen what He's done. I've seen what He's done in my own life. When people were willing to take the time and do little things and speak into my life and pour into my life, and it had the power to convert, to conquer, to win. So I believe it. And so when it comes to those that I'm dealing with, when I truly believe and know what I believe in, then it gives me a strength and a power that comes from above, that regardless of the situation, regardless of how it might look, doesn't matter, you're defeated. Because my God is real. I trust the Lord encourage you this evening. I trust that the Lord will help you to examine your beliefs. Examine what do you truly believe? What kind of actions do I have in my life? Do they match up with what I believe, what I say I believe? Because if not, it's time to do business with the Lord. It's time to be honest with Him, whether that's here tonight at an altar or at home at an altar. It doesn't matter. But we need to do business with the Lord if we find there's a disconnect. And at the same time, we should walk out of here with a head held up high and a stiff back and a confidence in God, not us, a confidence in God that any situation that He calls me to, I've already got the victory. And I can walk into that situation and I can be confident of who I am and what I believe and know that there is power in this salvation that allows me to conquer things in people's lives. And when it comes to my own personal battles, when it comes to those spirits, I know we just talked a little bit about depression, but there are others that are out there. And when it comes to those spirits, oh, we got a power to deal with those things. And remember that whether it's with yourself or with somebody else, particularly in that depression, it thrives on belief. That's how it's sustained. And so if you take away the belief of the negative thought and of the negative ideas and you restore it with the belief of God and His thoughts towards them, we've cut it off at the root. May God bless you.